Velkommen til Hestedyrlægerne, en podcastserie fra Boehringer Ingelheim. I disse podcast taler vi med specialister inden for forskellige fagområder vedrørende hestens sygdomme. Alle har det til fælles, at de deler din og vores passion for heste. Hej og velkommen til Hestedyrlægerne, podcasten til dig, der er dyrlæge eller veterinærsygeplejerske og arbejder med heste. Jeg hedder fortsat Gorm. I tredje afsnit om emnet hesteejerkommunikation taler vi med Rebecca Schmidt fra Liverpool University. Rebecca er selv dyrlæge og har forsket i hesteejers og dyrlægers holdninger til den aldrende hest. Hun fortæller, hvordan vi som fagpersoner kan forholde os til ejere i samtaler om den aldrende hest og hvilke særlige hensyn vi bør tage.
Welcome to the podcast, Becky.
Hello, thanks for having me.
You are a new voice to our listeners. We have been talking to your colleague Tamsin on the previous episodes about owner compliance. And this episode we're going to dedicate to older patients. And for that, you are a perfect guest. So can you start by telling us about yourself and your background? Who are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks so much. So I guess I've had a varied background. I grew up, I guess, like a lot of people, loving animals, loving horses, growing up kind of sharing other people's horses and volunteering on at a riding school. And I guess that developed my love for animals. And then I wanted to pursue that as a career. So I trained as a vet. And then through my veterinary degree, I became, you know, interested in horses, but small animals as well. So when I was in practice, I worked as a small animal vet. So horses were kind of still my passion, but not my patients, I suppose. But kind of how that's really led me to where I am today, it's really a real interest in people's relationships with animals and the different relationships that owners have, but that we as vets have as well. And I did some volunteering in some charity clinics overseas as well. And I think that also really highlighted to me that different cultures and different societies, we all have different understandings of animal health or welfare. And really it was that kind of human side of it that was, you know, potentially going to make a big difference to how we provide the best care that we can for animals. So I ended up doing my PhD, and I'm doing some more research now, both based at the University of Liverpool. And my PhD was focused on owners and vets' approaches to the care of older horses, which is why I'm particularly interested in joining obviously this podcast today. But it's an interesting area because not only could I study I recruited owners and then the vets that treated their horse, I could also look at how that the influence of aging really shape those relationships and types of care. So I know we're going to talk more about that and what I found.
So you looked specifically into owners and vets' experiences for caring for older horses. What does then the research tell us about when a horse is considered to be old?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I thought, you know, this is an interesting question. And when I was designing my research study, I thought, well, what does, you know, what are we classing as old? Who are the people I'm going to speak to? And the literature, in the literature and some previous research that had been done, people use different age cutoffs. So looking at horses over 15 years and some looked at over 20 years. So in my study, I asked to speak to, when I was recruiting my participants, owners that had experience of owning horses over 15 years. But what I actually found really from speaking to people and that data is that there was not a clear-cut age at which a horse becomes old. people are keeping their horses into their 30s or even their 40s. So we've got a lot of horses in that older age group. But as people spoke to me about, I guess, changes in their horses, they've got older. It was all very individual. So depending on whether that animal developed any particular health conditions, whether they showed signs of ageing, such as grey hairs, for example, that could shape owners' perceptions of what they thought was old. So I guess that's the take-home message, really, that when we're thinking about older horses, that, and this probably resonates with vets, that actually you can see horses at 15 or at 25 that may, you know, physically or physiologically seem a similar age. We wouldn't necessarily call a set age at which that change occurs.
Yeah, of course. It's very individual in people too, right? When someone actually gets old in the medical term, so what about the needs of older horses then? They're maybe different from younger patients, and how exactly would you say that we need to approach these patients differently?
Well, I guess one thing I thought that was quite interesting, and I guess to bring in this idea of this individual kind of change as well, as what expectations owners had about what an older horse might need or how they might have to adapt to caring for that horse in older age. So there were common things that people spoke about that they'd maybe thought or they anticipate in relation to their horse, such as that horse slowing down, their health deteriorating, maybe needing to retire that horse or reduce the amount of exercise, maybe needing to provide more shelter, and that idea that old age is going to be related to the end of that horse's life. But actually, some owners that were speaking to me, they had these ideas, but the way that their horse actually aged and adapted over time, maybe some of these expectations weren't the reality of what that horse actually needed. So I guess one example I'm thinking about is one lady who had expected to have to house her horse more, particularly thinking over the winter, I'm going to have to not turn that horse out as much or bring the horse in overnight, for example. But actually what she found was that the horse really benefited from that turnout. The mobility was improved, demeanour was improved. And so actually she provided the horse with shelter and companionship, but actually that was something that when it came to it, her horse really benefited from moving around. And I think that was a common thing that people had experienced.
That you would think that they would want to like take it more easy, and then it was the opposite, that they actually needed that exercise.
Yeah. And some obviously would benefit from from shelter or appropriate environment to lie down in. But actually, quite a lot of them said, I expect the horses to want to be in the shelter that I've paid hundreds of pounds for. And no, they're actually out in the middle of the rain and the wind. So I guess we've probably experienced that across all age groups. But I think just thinking, owners really valued kind of thinking what was important for their animal, and that might be different from what they had thought.
So what is important to a horse that is considered old? Is there anything that we can say that they all have in common, or is it just completely individual?
Well, I think across, I guess, all age groups, really, common thing is providing not only for that horse's physical health, but their mental well-being as well. Companionship, appropriate grazing, space to move around. And I guess as horses, it's common for older animals to get conditions such as arthritis. So actually those things become, not necessarily more important, but, as important to keep that horse's health. And that's going to play into their kind of mental well-being as well. And I think that was important for owners, perhaps they weren't competing or doing particular activities with their horse. They weren't, they'd have to change the workload. So they wanted to provide for that kind of mental health in different ways. providing enrichment or doing things like someone talked to me about doing agility with her horse, different kind of groundwork. So those types of things, finding, I guess, different ways of keeping that horse happy, really.
So the veterinary perspective then, how do you think the knowledge among vets and the vets' experience of caring for older horses in particular, what did you find here?
Well, I guess thinking about the context in which vets were seeing horses was, you know, important. So I guess it's probably similar in the countries that you're working in, but in the UK, vets were seeing the horses primarily in kind of two contexts. So one was more around like the type routine type visits for vaccination or dentistry or for blood tests potentially, or for kind of problems that came up outside of that. So that could be things similar to younger horses, like injuries, for example. But in older horses, it might be issues related to, I guess, that horse quidding. So, yeah, dental issues, horses that might have had mobility issues and might be recumbent in the field. And so those types of things were potentially more common for the older horses. So I guess a vet's role in these, or, you know, what they're being presented with, or their role in treating older horses would be in these kind of preventive healthcare settings or in problem situations, and that might be where their approaches or the types of conversations might be a bit different with those.
Maybe that's just an idea, but I can imagine that the older a horse gets, the more you start to sort of evaluate, is it worth doing all these measures or providing all this maybe expensive care or the rehabilitation that's going to take a lot of time and so on. But how do you find the opinions or perceptions around those topics with vets?
I think there were, again, I guess it depends on what that particular issue is going to be, and what the owner feels important or what their goals are for that animal. So, yeah, if they, you know, if exercising that horse or competing that horse is important, then I guess that would shape their approach to the type of recommendations they might give around diagnostics or surgery, for example. I think vets were, there was no kind of, clear-cut approach. I think trying to find out or examine the horse and think what that, make an assessment of that horse's quality of life, and as you say, kind of weighing that up against the types of interventions that they might think were appropriate. And that was really, you know, relying also on communicating with the owner and understanding what their kind of wishes were for that horse. I mean, there were some examples of vets talking about, I guess, colic surgery, for example, and the appropriateness of that in an older horse. Again, I think there's just examples of there being different approaches within, even within practices potentially. And I think that's where, you know, it's important to think about what are these kind of assumptions are around old age. And I guess thinking about the fact that different people, even within vets, have different ideas around what is appropriate care to provide. So lots of different contexts. I don't know if you want me to follow up on any particular one or...
No, it's just what you found. I think it's really interesting because it's, I mean, it is a specific category of horses, but they're still individuals. So it's still so important to sort of look at the individual instead of just seeing an age, for example. And I guess that they do have less things in common than, for example, I mean, in the last episode, we touched upon obesity. It's a lot more like clear cut to when a horse is considered obese, but when a horse is considered old, that's very individual. And also, of course, that age does not necessarily mean that it has any problems or that there is an issue. But I mean, we have seen it, especially if you've been in the equine world for some years, that there is a shift also in the attitude towards older horses, that horses get older, but they're also considered valuable, if that is emotional value or monetary value, a longer time in their life. What's your thoughts or opinions, or what have you found about this shift in the attitude towards older horses?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, in my data, the way that people talked about the animals that they'd, you know, these were people that were choosing to care for their horse, into very old age, talked about them as friends or family members. And I guess that's quite, we're seeing that change from, think about small companion animals as well. Dogs or cats, also people are considering them family members. So slightly different context, I guess, that the horse isn't going to be in the house, but that's still, I guess, thinking about those close relationships. And I think owners were really wanting to, you know, persevere, and they felt they, you know, they owed their horse that care in later life because of, you know, that relationship and maybe what that horse had given them earlier in their life, whether that be being able to ride or like emotional support. So, you know, people have the horses for 30 years. They may have through that time gone through personal changes or loss of relatives, for example, and often the horses can provide emotional support. So I think that links into the fact of them, again, thinking about what appropriate care might be, and that actually wanting to continue care or, you know, look after that horse when someone else may view that animal's health to be, you know, diminished. Actually, there's a sense of wanting to not give up on that animal as well.
Does it tend to go the other direction, that people are sort of keeping animals alive longer than they should, or maybe than their vet think they should? Or,
well, I think that's a matter of perspective. I guess that's what was interesting, seeing vets did have some, not some experiences, not necessarily with the owners that I spoke to, but they also in the interview talked about other horses that they had treated. And I guess that's where it can be difficult for vets going in and seeing, making an assessment of that animal, perhaps either feeling that care isn't appropriate, but there was also an awareness of by vets about the fact that they knew they were only seeing a snapshot in time. Perhaps if they had a long-term relationship with the owner and the horse, they could have an idea about how that horse had changed. But there was a sense by vets of, you know, obviously wanting to their role in protecting that horse's welfare or bringing up things to the owner if there was an issue, whilst having an understanding of, well, this is just a snapshot in time. I'm seeing this animal. What's the animal like on the other days? And we know that older horses often their health can kind of fluctuate as well, depending on weather or other factors. So their demeanour might change. And I think vets were also aware of that, you know, they had to have conversations with owners and try to understand the bigger picture as well.
So if you are then an owner and you're caring for older horses, what are, in your opinion, then the most important aspects to consider? We were talking a little bit about before that it's not always so easy to just say one thing and it goes for all the other horses. All the old horses, but when might owners have to involve a vet, for example, except for obvious reasons such as colics and so on? But
well, I think that what I found in my study is that owners saw the role of the vet very differently from each other, potentially.
Yeah.
And that was really what was interesting about thinking about these vet owner relationships. So, you know, as a simple example, the fact that someone may have thought their horse had a foot abscess. Some people saw that as an issue they would go to the farrier for, and some people thought it was something they go to the vet for. But you could extrapolate that to different things that might have come up. And the reason that they would go to a particular person, be that the vet or not, was not only related to what they thought the issue was, but because of their relationship with that vet and what they thought that vet could provide for them. And that was really based on past experiences. So owners valued the role of vets in quite different ways, and that's really shaped how they involved them in their animals' care. So I guess that's something to think about, both from the owners' and the vet side, of how we can really make those interactions throughout that horse's life as good as possible from both perspectives, because ideally both owners and vets have knowledge that can feed into optimising that animal's health and well-being as they get older. So things like how that vet, whether they listened to the owner, took time to listen to the owner, as well as how they maybe actually interacted with the horse, what their skills were about handling the horse. Those things were all important, as much as that vet's knowledge or, technical skills. So I think that, yeah, thinking about every interaction is really important for making sure that you've got those good relationships so that vets can be involved as the horse gets older.
Mm. Do you think you should have more frequent checkups when a horse passes a certain age or a certain point in life, sort of?
I know vets definitely valued, having regular involvement. And I know people, one vet talking about the fact of really trying to, I guess, make that visit seem worthwhile to that owner, even if there were no real problems identified. So I think that, opportunities to, again, that's probably the frequency of it is going to be partly shaped by maybe what services that practice offers. So what types of protocols there are in place around vaccinations or what type of services they provide, like dentistry. But I think that's going to be on an individual or a practice or individual vet's kind of approach. There's probably no set time frame. I think that vets just valued whether that's annual, ideally as a minimum, I guess, annual involvement to at least be able to see those changes that were occurring.
Mm. I know when it comes to, for example, dental issues, it's many people recommend that you see a vet maybe a little bit more frequent than if it's a younger horse. Maybe there are other conditions as well that you would want to follow up on or a little bit more frequent.
Yes, and I suppose with dentistry it comes to who is being employed to provide those services, whether it's a vet or not. But I guess where there's, and it might vary with, if there's a newly diagnosed arthritis and, it's important to review how that horse is responding to whatever changes or medication or management changes that vet and owner have decided upon, that could require a review after a month, for example. So that's I guess just thinking about the best ways to make sure whatever frequency of review it's going to be, that those things actually happen. It might be that it's great that the owner will get in touch, but that might not always be the case. Maybe vets, and some did talk about following up with the owner themselves. So I guess it's thinking about the best ways of actually making sure those reviews happen and how a vet or a practice could help support owners in making those reviews happen.
Mm. Is there something that we can do as a veterinary sort of community to increase owner awareness and knowledge about what happens to a horse when it gets old? Or do you think horse owners know their horses well enough to sort of have this awareness already?
I think vets definitely can play a role, and they're seen as as experts in animal health. But I guess what we also know is that horse owners often, before seeing the vet, are going to get information and advice from many other sources, whether that's from websites or sources online, or using online discussion forum, which I looked at in my research as well, where they can ask advice from other people. Obviously, if you're in a livery yard, there might be other people around. So I guess it's thinking of that wider picture and providing support for owners around, yeah, whether that's changes in horse health or the types of management adjustments that they might need, and thinking about all those different avenues of providing that information and support rather than it solely coming on the shoulders of the vet.
So in essence then, what from all the research you have conducted, what's your most important take-home message to your colleagues out there working with these patients?
Yeah, so I guess the biggest thing that I've seen and thought about really is how these relationships are really important between the vet and the owner, and over time as well. So not just at a later stage of a horse's life, but thinking how vets can really build a knowledge of the owner and what's important for them, what's their wider context, facilities they have, or what are their values with their animal, and a better understanding of that by vets, can help really support these conversations over time, and make the vet someone that the owner wants to come to for these conversations, and perhaps hopefully earlier if they might notice changes in their animal, come to the vet, and then there can be a discussion at that point. So yeah, I think, and that's something we're going to talk about a little bit more maybe in the next episode, but
thank you so much, Becky, and in the next episode we're going to be covering the difficult subjects, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Tak fordi du lyttede til Hestedyrlærerne. Hvis du kan lide, hvad du hører, så glem ikke at trykke på abonner på din podcast-app, så går du ikke glip af nogen episoder. Du må også godt fortælle os, hvad du synes ved at skrive en anmeldelse. Vi modtager også meget gerne tips om kommende gæster og emner, og vores kontaktoplysninger kan du finde i podcastbeskrivelsen. Vi høres ved snart.